join us next week as three guys watch one 80s movie and then talk about it.
Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
My name is Nolan.
And this is episode 115. And AGDQ begins tomorrow. So we're recording this on a Saturday, and this Sunday, January the 7th, Awesome Games Done Quick 2018 commences. This is been an event that we've always enjoyed. Some years we watch heavily, some years just because of our schedules we don't get to watch near as much, but it's always something that we've always supported and been interested in.
Yeah, and luckily they have all the speedruns on demand. If you don't know what AGDQ is, it's like a week-long marathon. It's pretty long.
I didn't realize they put them all on demand as well. That's awesome.
Yeah, they're all on YouTube.
I've always felt like I was kind of stuck, you know, tuning in live if I wanted to catch it, but I don't have to.
Yeah, it's a marathon of speedruns of retro games, newer games, and people just beat games as quickly as they can, and you watch and you donate money.
Neatest thing about AGDQ, exactly, is what the money donation goes to. Like, they try to raise money for really good causes, and that's just neat.
So for this one, they're raising money for Prevent Cancer Foundation, and a large percentage of the money from ads and from their prizes and giveaways and from just donations over the week go towards that foundation, that charity, Prevent Cancer Foundation. And they do two a year. They do Awesome Games Done Quick here during the winter time, and then they do Summer Games Done Quick. You can probably guess when that is.
It's like the Olympics.
And this last summer, they raised, I think they hit a new summer record of just under $2 million that they raised.
That's so crazy.
During those 7 days. Awesome Games Done Quick, the winter one, I believe always raises even more. So, like, there's going to be, over the next 7 days, over $2 million that are raised for the Prevent Cancer Foundation.
Is speedruns where the money's at? Do we need to become a speedrunning podcast? Is that
it
the secret
not.
Here?
It's just an event, but it works, and it's so entertaining.
Absolutely. No, they just do it big and organize it well and get the community behind it, and it's become a thing, and it's cool.
Well, the schedule of games is up, and I know that we've all taken a chance to look through and see some of the games that are being played. Any standouts for you guys that you would love to try to catch as they play it?
Yeah, a lot. I'm not going to be able to catch them all because there's so many.
Ocarina of Time, isn't it?
It's a good year.
Lots of good titles in there.
Ocarina of Time, 100%. ZFG is running that. He is the master of Ocarina of Time. He is so good. There's other Zeldas. They're doing Breath of the Wild to close it out, actually. It's the all main quests run, which is it's close to 4 hours long.
That's
so
ridiculous.
Watch that if you're interested in Breath of the Wild. What about you, Kenny?
I'm still old and boring, and I just look for games that are weirdly nostalgic for me. So, like, I'd love to watch their Dragon Warrior run through.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw Battletoads, Metroid.
Battletoads is one of those that when you watch it on AGDQ, you roll your eyes because it's impossible and these people can't be this good at video games.
Or you
it
admire
just makes
them.
Me vomit a little.
Is it the Mexican runner? Because if it is, he's probably going to try that one stage blindfolded, the one that's absolutely impossible.
He's crazy.
That's so crazy. Like, that's just crazy.
I see that they're running the Addams Family. We played that game.
We did, and I laughed a whole lot.
Yeah.
Hey, they're also running Athena, Brocentia. We had him on the show to play Athena, and he's running that.
Sick.
That's awesome. So awesome.
I think he's got like a 3 o'clock in the morning slot, but you know.
Hey, it doesn't even matter. It's like, getting on AGDQ is getting on AGDQ.
Oh, I also saw they are running Fire Emblem 8 Sacred Stones, the one you play, Dustin, the one I got you to play.
Yeah. I
Kirby
saw that
Musta
as well.
Is running it.
That's the one sick. That's better than the one we played, I hope.
Yeah, it is.
They're also doing Contra and Yooka-Laylee, Skyrim. You know, that's always fun to watch. They've got tons and tons of good games that they're running. You can find the link easily online or go to gamesdonequick.com. We'll probably link it out from our Twitter and social media this week so that you can follow along and watch some of your favorite games being played very, very fast. It's one full week, Sunday to Sunday. That's no small task, but I'll tell you what is our retro game of the week, Willow.
Overview.
Willow was released in 1989 for the Nintendo Entertainment System and was developed and published by Capcom.
Yeah.
It's based on the 1988 film of the same name that I had never heard of before.
I hadn't either, and I
you
never
guys
seen
haven't
it.
Watched this well, movie.
Okay. No, I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
Oh my
and
goodness.
It's got Warwick Davis.
This movie.
And Val Kilmer, and I love them.
Right. I hadn't heard of it. I hadn't seen it. But it's directed by Ron Howard and produced by George Lucas.
That's huge.
And it stars some pretty big names as well.
Yeah, Val Kilmer. Oh, my goodness. Mad Mardigan. This movie is just... It's been years since I've watched it. But I remember just smiling and loving this movie like nobody's business.
Well, it's an 80s film, so you're not, right. like, you're going to get
I go back
some
and watch 80s cinema more than I should admit. I love that era.
It's on YouTube for free, if anyone wants to go watch it, by the way.
The movie?
Really? The movie. Whole movie's really
fun. We should have a watch party, because it's excellent.
It has the most outlandish plot, so to save you kind of a headache right now, just think high fantasy. Think witches, wizards, prophecies, trolls, and dwarfs, of which our protagonist is, and you're going to be pretty close if you make something up.
Think funny, too, because it's not It's not like – I mean, it's funny. It's kind of like Princess Bride, where it's like big and epic, but
kind
then
of,
it's also just hilarious. It's that sort of – epic, that sort of era of movie.
That being said, that humor doesn't translate to the game.
No. They don't get that well. They try at a few points to be kind of funny, you know, like there's the dragon that you expect to be some big enemy and he's just old and sick and is glad you didn't kill him. I mean, there's moments where they try, but it's not like it's a super funny game.
It's an action RPG, so it's much like The Legend of Zelda. In fact, it probably borrowed heavily from the first Zelda, where you're really just traversing between town and dungeon, and there's no overworld map or anything. Your enemies show up on the screen. It's not random encounters. And you gain experience, you upgrade your weaponry along the journey, and you complete certain tasks until you defeat the final boss and beat the game.
That's pretty much it. It looks a lot like Zelda. If you were to go look up the gameplay of it, it would be like, well, this is just crappy Zelda, you know? Like, it's pretty much everything's borrowed except you level up. That's
I don't know. I feel like it's somewhat different in gameplay. Don't get me wrong. There's clone elements. There's elements that are totally inspired by, I won't say a ripoff of. But like it navigates differently. Zelda is all about these puzzles and those kind of things. And this is more classic RPG. It felt like a different game to me, even though it had a similar vibe.
I guess it's also worth noting there is an arcade version of this game that came out first, right? It looks fantastic.
But totally different.
It's a platformer. And yeah, it looks good.
And I'm pretty sure Capcom did. There is a few different versions of... There are two different games. That platforming arcade game is different than this action RPG for the NES. But the one that we play this week, because it was the one that was submitted, is the NES version of Willow.
Gameplay.
So we talked about this game being a little bit like Zelda, really just to give people kind of a picture of what it's like. But there's some similarities and some differences there, and a few really unique things. One of the things that I loved, and I don't know if you guys even noticed it, is the way your like swords work. When you get a new weapon, because you're supposed to be tiny and you're carrying these big swords, they don't work well at first. Like, they swing slowly, And then as you get to use them better, again, Zelda style, kind of right in front of you hitting enemies or dashing and hitting enemies, like your weapon speed hits become faster. And I thought that was a really fun take on that classic like sword action.
Was that from using the sword or from your agility getting better when you level up?
I think it's per... I believe it's per weapon, and as you use a sword continuously, that sword gets faster.
I think that it's per weapon based on experience level. Okay. And I think that signifies your ability, your strength that is increasing so that you're able to use heavier and heavier weapons.
It may have just been that, and I misinterpreted what was happening.
Either way, once you get a sword, you start off swinging slow until you get to a certain point to where then you can actually swing it much faster and do more damage.
Right, which is way cool.
Yeah, that's on brand. Even the guy who gives you the first sword is like, it'll be heavy to you at first, but you'll get used to it. You know, like, so it's, I'll let it slide.
And you do upgrade your swords along the way. I don't recall, I mean, I didn't get to play the whole game this week, as it is a game that if you're, you know, playing to completion and just enjoying it and doing the grind, I mean, you're going to play 10 hours plus. But you can, I think there's at least like 9 swords, 9 shields. And so you upgrade your swords, your shields, and your magic along the way.
And your magic as well. And then you get a bunch of items also.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're not using a guy, you can definitely beat the game without having gotten all of the different swords and shields and magic. And like you don't need all of those to complete the game. But obviously, no, going out of your way to find those weapons and shields and items is going to make the game easier and is going to make your progression a lot smoother and probably more fun as well.
Oh, yeah. Games like this really ask you to explore and find every last thing. I think that's part of the fun. And I enjoyed that. Though the dungeons don't work like... Again, they're not Zelda puzzle-based dungeons. There is some exploring for you to do, again, if you're not using a guide, because things are laid out and there's rooms you can go in and you've got to remember where you are, and there's definitely a sort of exploration element to this game.
Yeah, and on a note about those dungeons, something that I was not cool with is, so say you go in a cave and it's pretty long. Like, I'm talking about that first one you go to where you have to find the demon dude that's possessed or whatever. Well, you beat him, and I mean, I might have missed something, but I had to backtrack to the entrance. It didn't warp me out or give me somewhere to leave. I had to walk out all the way.
Yeah, I've had that with a few other early games, and that's the case with Willow. For the first half of the game, probably, you're unable to just warp out of a dungeon after you beat it. You have to backtrack, which can be frustrating if you conquer a boss and then, you know, mistakenly get beat by one of the enemies on your way out.
It'd be very frustrating. It's kind of realistic and not, like, unique. A lot of early games, that was the mechanic, like you walk in, you walk out.
What's nice is that later in the game you do get an item or a magic ability that does warp you out of dungeons later, so that's nice. Speaking of enemies, you've got so many different kind of enemies in this game. That was something that I found unique, because
huge
even
variety.
I'm trying to think, Dragon Warrior, Kenny, you know, like you don't have a huge swath of enemies, right? Especially in early game, you've got the slimes.
I'm going to say they don't feel that different. And later on, it's a bigger diversity, but it's sort of similar types. I think you don't notice it as much when you have the kind of pop-up fights.
Maybe.
Where it's just text-based. Because, I mean, those have a lot. But this one, it's like different enemies that you have to handle differently. It's not just like attack or fight. It's dodge projectiles or try not to get turned into a pig, or you know what I mean?
Within the first 10 minutes, you come across flying skulls, you come across slimes, you come across this like dragon snake man, and
terrifying
boars and skeleton knights, and all of these things within just
things.
A short amount of time. They're not just segregated to certain areas or level. You can fight any of these at any given time.
Absolutely. There's like enemies that are invisible or burrowed or whatever that you got to swing at, and just a huge variety of not just types, but interactions.
And what's cool about the way that the enemy mechanics work in this game, they respawn every time you enter the tile that they spawn in. Like you beat them all, leave the screen to the left, go back to the right, they're back. So you can grind experience that way, which is awesome.
It's really nice for farming sake.
Yeah.
I think we also ought to mention the way the magic works in this game. Not the way that it works, but just that there is magic and that it's kind of cool.
You think so?
I liked it.
You think we should mention that?
Did you not ever even use the magic? Because I found myself using it.
I healed myself.
Yeah, for sure I healed myself with the staff.
I'm going to say that's an item. That's not even a magic spell, though it works just like one, really.
It's magic.
It takes your
I did
MP
not use the fire as much as I thought I would. I really enjoy just the sword and shield Zelda play. I kind of forgot about it.
Yeah, it's fair. It's definitely not like essential. Like you're hacking and slashing more, but it's fun. The fire, like instead of doing direct damage, giving you some map control by being the circle of fire around you was kind of intriguing. It gave you some interesting ways of handling enemies, being able to stun enemies with your little, or I don't know if stun's the right word, to root enemies. There's a...
No, not root.
Old reference.
It's like frame locking them. They get stunned.
Yeah, to stun them with your acorns. Like there's lots... I just felt like it was fun that it wasn't just a typical like, oh, you suddenly do big damage to an enemy.
Yeah, here's what I will say. I really enjoy when games, and they honestly don't do this much, when they make certain items, or in this case magic, optional, and if you don't utilize a magic ability at a certain point in the story or in the game, that's fine. It's just going to be more difficult or take you on a different path. So late in the game, very late in the game, you come up to this castle, and there's a guard that's guarding the gate into some of the final dungeon. You can turn, you use one of your magic skills to turn into a slime, a monster, which scares the guard away, and then you can go in the entrance, and it's a much easier route through there. Or if you don't use that magic or don't even have that ability, then the guard stays there. You can't pass him, and so you have to go around the castle and find a different entrance, and it's just a longer and more difficult grind. I really appreciate that, and that it doesn't force you to have these certain things, but if you have them, you can complete the game with style.
Yeah, like not a lot of games around this time did that. I feel like it was more of a linear path that you had to take, yeah, or one that was just so vague that it was frustrating. But this one at least directed you. Like if you beat something that was clearly part of the main storyline, the main quest or whatever, it wouldn't just be like, all right, that's that. It would say, thank you for defeating that. Now go west of the town of Dew and find this person. And it's like, oh, that's kind of nice. So I didn't get lost.
As much as there's some exploration through the map to find all of the items and not miss things and whatever else, it does a great job of keeping the story progressing and has this sort of forced linearness that these days we rail about and everything's supposed to be open world, but that when you compare it to other RPGs of the time, you're not just running around not sure which village to go, not sure which clue to follow. And I guess some of that discovery can be fun, but this one just felt like, I don't know, it was kind of guided storytelling. It worked well for a movie, for a story based on a movie, even if it didn't really kind of follow the story of the movie exactly. It sort of took inspiration from it and then was really kind of its own thing completely.
Yeah.
So is that the case? It's not retelling the movie, but kind of doing just characters of and world of?
A couple of the really broad things. I don't remember the movie as well as I should in terms of like plot, more sort of scenes and things that stick with me. But my understanding is that they have some of the same characters in this, but that it doesn't really follow the story exactly. It's not trying to be a clone. It's sort of its own thing that's just inspired by that world.
From what I understand, the arcade version does follow it pretty dead on. The movie, I mean. But for this one, yeah, it's just more of like a skin. And you've got some of the characters there that were in the movie, and it's just kind of loosely based.
Which I'm not opposed to. You know, we play games based on movies, and 99% of the time they're awful, right? They never should have been made.
Sure.
It's just it's a movie producer trying to make more money, whatever, mm-hmm, a company. Mm-hmm. And so I respect when games take the theme of or kind of an overarching story to, but don't try to mimic completely. So even, and I know we refer to this one often when we talk about movie games, but the Lion King game, it's not a direct like walking through everything, though you do see some of the stages and themes and hear some of the songs from the movie. It follows
through the story loosely, but then does the things it needs to be a good game
still. Well, it's a game first, movie based on a movie second. That's how I look at it, like a good game. You know,
exactly. And okay, so but that being said, in Willow, one of the things that bothered me most, you guys were talking about exploration and moving around, was that for me it was way too easy to get lost in a village. There's no map, or at least not one that I could find, and your villages are too large. And while there's something like 12 homes in a town, only two of them are important. Some of them are even empty, where you walk in, it's like, no one's here, like, and yeah, it just takes up your time. And they all look identical. So on the outside, you don't know what house you're necessarily about to go into.
That didn't bother me, though.
They could have differentiated it some.
Well, what's cool about the towns that really helped me was that the overworld theme changes at least. So like, you know, you entered a town because it does look pretty similar. Like all the screens you're going to, it's like, where am I? I have no clue where I'm going, if I'm going north or south or west or whatever, but at least it would tell you, hey, you are in a safe area. Go talk to people and figure stuff out.
Yeah. In town, that might've been a little bit of a problem, but I felt like in the dungeons, as much as it could have been really repetitive, they did a pretty good job of making your hallways look sort of different and your rooms and entrances that you need to go to look a little bit unique. I know each one was different and there's pros and cons, but I never felt like, oh, am I in a just eternal like looping hallway? It always felt like I was making progress or recognizing, oh, I've been here before, I should check somewhere else. And so outside of, I don't know, towns looking sort of similar, I feel like they avoided that pitfall most of the time.
Here's what I would have appreciated, and I'm going to say it's super easy to do, although I've never made a game before and have no idea. But even if when you entered a town, if just a little mini map would come up on the bottom right of your screen or something that would kind of just show you the layout of the town. Because now when you're moving to caves or when you're in dungeons, you don't need not a mini map, because that kind of ruins the fun of exploration. But in a town, towns aren't about exploration. They're about finding the person to talk to, getting the weapon from them, or finding a medic place to get healing. I'm thinking your Pokemon towns are a lot smaller and they're clearly identified as what's a Pokemart. I don't know why I went here, but I'm just thinking of someone who did town well without a mini map. And if it was something more like that, it would have been a lot easier for me. But I spent an unacceptable amount of time in the villages trying to figure out just who to talk to progress the story.
So you're saying like if the hut would have said in or shop, kind of
absolutely.
Like, yeah, similar to Final Fantasy or something. Okay,
absolutely.
I'll argue that it wasn't bad game design, though it probably just was, and was just going for realism. If you went back thousands of years, is that how fantasy works?
No, that's not
what, is that what we're doing,
to a fantasy village?
No.
It'd just be a bunch of huts that all look the same, and there wouldn't be a map, and you wouldn't get a GPS on your phone.
That's an excuse for not putting something in the game.
Well, I'm glad that we're talking about realism when we're playing as a magical
high
dwarf
fantasy game based on a Hollywood movie. It's as real.
I think
as
one
it
more
gets.
Thing regarding gameplay that we should mention is the boss battles, because it's a different kind of battle system. The look and the feel change when you go into a boss battle.
Yeah.
It's not just kind of that overworld map anymore, it goes into this what is it, like a,
it's a different HUD.
Yeah, like, it's a different HUD entirely.
A health bar will pop up for the boss, and P, which I think is, I don't know what P is. I just kind of swung at things.
P's usually power, right?
Usually, but I it didn't get communicated to me in the way that it played that's what that was.
I think it was like player and enemy.
Ooh,
I guess
your health and their health, I believe, is what it was tracking.
Or it was your main character's name, Pillow.
Oh, it was Pillow.
Pillow.
I'm stupid. I should.
I was pronouncing it with the wrong phonetic emphasis all this time.
Gosh. Anyways, yeah, the boss battles are a little different than your normal fights, but the way they play is the same. I mean, you're still swinging at
Yeah, it's still that kind of action RPG, run around, dodge things, block things with your sword, hit the baddies with your weapons. But that was fun to me. Like, some of these RPGs, and I tend to lean heavier towards the kind of text-based or Final Fantasy-style menuing bosses, menuing process, but fighting bosses where you still had to kind of sort of rely on skill really worked for this game, I thought.
Aged.
This game was not what I expected, because, like, from the beginning, I was blown away by the soundtrack. And it's an NES game, and it's a movie that I'd never seen. So I was like, it's just going to be another based on a movie thing. But the soundtrack is very, very good throughout the game.
Well, it's one of the most epic introductions to any retro video game that I've ever played. I don't know if I've ever seen or heard a better introduction. Like, the story is convoluted and it's all talking this high fantasy jargon, but you've got this music right away that is epic in scope and that sounds really, really good.
Really good on the system, and really they do it without sounding corny. Like, these stories often sound terrible and corny, and maybe this one is a little, but I was just kind of, I was thinking that it was pretty epic and awesome. So I was like, okay.
I'm with you. The story felt less typical to me, more like a more novel-ish and less video game-ish, you know, like it almost came from something that was thought of as a story.
Yeah,
video
games, George Lucas-ish. Like,
yeah, it's just this big enemy and go save the world and you're a knight and the dragons all want to eat you. And yeah, at least in that time. And so that was super refreshing to me. You're right, the music was on point. I did find, and every game of this era has it a little bit, but I did find it got a little repetitive at points. But you can't avoid that on this system. And it was super well done.
I think one of the things that does age for me, where it's not graphics and music, which are some of the typical things for these retro games. This one is kind of just the how the game was created, how the fighting system, the mechanics there. Mm-hmm. So for this one, it's really just all about learning hitboxes and how to approach enemies, I think.
Yeah.
And once you get that down, it's not difficult anymore. The challenge isn't there. It's just a matter of, and I guess you could relate that to you know, really any game, but for this one in particular.
I would say a lot of your platformers are exactly the same, like memorize a boss pattern, perform it correctly.
Yeah, I just felt extra in this one where, like, literally the enemies would approach you the exact same way every time. You would have to know their exact pattern and how to move away, when to advance, when to swing, how many swings you could get in before you had to back off again. It was just kind of very repetitive there, and I felt that was kind of annoying or frustrating to me.
I think it's a fair critique. To me, being a huge fan of that style, that Zelda fighting style, it kind of came naturally to me. So on the other hand, it was refreshing to me to have that merged with an RPG element of, like, gaining XP and leveling up. And they blended pretty well together, like, for me, because, like, I just had fun grinding in this game. And usually that's the worst task ever for me. So I don't know. That didn't bother me as much. And actually, I don't have a ton of stuff to knock this game for. This game, like, the sprites for the weapons when you pull up your menu, which the menu is great. Like, you pull up your start menu and it's got details on the background, and the sprites for all the items are unique and remind me of even A Link to the Past, which was on Super Nintendo.
Yeah, Dustin, you mentioned graphics sort of in passing as something you can't knock. I've got to go to the other extreme and take it farther. Not just the sprites. This game was beautiful. I think
so too.
I think even prettier than Zelda. And
shut up.
I do. I know it's hard because you love that game.
Than the original. I could see that.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know. They just, it was pretty. And this is one of those games that, again, we see so many movie games that are just, like, the game isn't loved and cared for and thought through, and it's just, hey, get on the hype train. But this one, they clearly put some time into it.
No, you're right.
Capcom knows what they're doing, and it was a pretty game.
I think it probably is prettier than the original Zelda because they went textured with it. Like, they gave everything texture instead of just solid colors. And when you enter a screen with an enemy and the battle starts, the like wind blows and the grass and trees start moving.
Mm-hmm. There's animations that fit what's going on. And yeah.
Yeah. Man, and good. It's not like, what is that supposed to be? The wind blowing? It was like, no, that's exactly what I thought it was. I was like, this is awesome. Like, it's really crazy that this is a 89 NES game.
One thing that I wish they would have done, and again, I don't know how difficult it would have been, but since so much of the gaming mechanics relies on you upgrading swords and upgrading shields, I really wish that the that you would have had a graphical image change or shift in the actual world. So in your menu, the swords and the shields look very different. I mean, really cool and creative sword and shield changes. But when you equip them, your icon doesn't change at all. I wish they would have been able to invest a little bit more in making those changes. I always appreciate in video games when your weapons or armor changes when you do change them.
Yeah, I agree with that. One more thing I'll say about the items that you're getting in this game. Much like the way that they tell you where to go or like hints on where to go, so it's not too vague and just like you get lost. When you get an item in high fantasy games like this, sometimes you'll get an item. It's like you got the golden statue of whatever town name or ancient person. But afterwards, it will often give you like a description of what to do with it. So like it said, you have like, for instance, opened a chest, got a ring. And instead of just saying you got a ring, it said this will up your strength when you wear it. And it's just like that detail right there that they added after getting items makes the game kind of future proof, or at least an aspect of the game future proof, because this game could have just been so confusing and you not know anything like where to go or what anything does. But I appreciated that extra level of explanation that they gave.
Yeah, and I didn't feel like it was handholdy. I felt like it just helped game flow. Yeah, I think it was just thoughtful and purposeful.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every episode, we determine whether or not this game gets our vote for New Game Plus status. That's our general thumbs up or thumbs down for said game. It requires 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or another. Do we suggest that you find a copy of Willow and play it and enjoy it, or reserve your retro gaming time for another game? Kenny, let's begin with you.
Yeah, so I love this game. I think it's a kind of a hidden NES gem. There's some things that are a little Zelda clonish about it, but I had fun with it. I thought the stuff it did do was unique. It held up. It was pretty. It was just a well-made game and still fun to play. And movie games can be scary, but they didn't get stuck in some of the traps here. And I just had a great time with it. And think as much as we've said positive things about it throughout the episode, that in my mind we haven't even hyped it enough, because this one is just a winner. This is one of those, this is why doing this podcast is so fun, because I get to play awesome games that I didn't realize I was going to get to play kind of titles. And I think everyone should pick it up and play it, and I think everybody should go watch the movie, and New Game Plus from me, hands down.
Wow. So I think that I agree. It didn't get hyped enough because I've simply never heard of this game, and I think that probably both the movie and the game suffered from some of the same fate, and that they're probably both decent, if not good, but then just forgotten or passed by for other movies and games. So
the now, movie went kind of cult popular.
It hey, you had
well
your turn.
Right away.
You had your turn.
I'm sorry. We got to talk about the movie and how great it is.
Well, that's a different podcast. That's a different podcast.
Join us next week as three guys watch one 80s movie and then talk about it.
So I think Willow was a good game for a game based on a movie. If you enjoy the movie, you might enjoy delving deeper into the world of Willow. Don't expect an exact clone of the movie, but appreciate it for what it's for at the same time. If you've never even heard of the movie Willow, you might still enjoy this game. The graphics and the music are solid. As Kenny mentioned, the music can get repetitive. While I think it's a good game and maybe even one of the better games based on a movie, I still don't think it's standout-ish enough for me. I don't think it's enjoyable enough for me. I don't think it's different or unique enough for me that I would encourage everyone to play it. If you are looking for good video game, retro video games to play based on movies, then pick up Willow. But that's such a small audience that I can't encourage every single person to pick up a copy and play it. So it does not get my vote.
I'm a little surprised. I normally feel like I disagree mostly with Nolan. But
hey, you've had your turn.
Oh, I know. I'm really curious. I'm hoping the Zelda-ness of it pulls through, because do you guys get nervous like this when there's a game you love and there's dissension?
So you love this game.
I love this game.
Interesting.
Like, it was great.
See, I mean, I've already said my piece as well, but I did not love this game. I noticed some of its merits and I just mentioned those, but overall definitely would not give it New Game Plus.
Interesting.
I hate agreeing with Kenny. I loved this game. I think that he's spot on in everything he said.
What?
It's so good. It's such a good design, a well-designed game, and I had fun with it. It has an ocarina in it. I think
it literally has an ocarina in it, and so it he's going to love it. Like, there's Poe. We didn't talk about Poe.
You have had your turn.
I'm sorry. I'm fanboy.
Look,
go ahead.
And I've never seen the movie. Kenny has and loves it. I've never seen it. This is a game first, a good game, and I think that if you liked the movie, then you'll like the game, but I think that if you've never heard of the movie or care about the movie, you'll love the game. I'm confident that the arcade version is as quality. It looks amazing, and it looks like so much detail and love was put into it. So you should play Willow. I'm saying it. I loved the game.
Wow. Well, that's 2/3 of the vote, meaning Willow for the Nintendo Entertainment System gets our thumbs up. New Game Plus status.
I'm so relieved.
We had a few of our viewers write in this week to give us their opinions and thoughts on the game. Josh wrote in and said, Willow is actually a pretty good action RPG for the NES with some interesting mechanics, some that even Zelda would take for future games, like the Ocarina plus bird traveling system. There is a password system for those of you that just want to jump to the end fully leveled.
What? No.
Great movie, but overall, the game is blah.
Is that it?
I mean, at least he gave the movie props.
I don't care about the movie. I care about the game.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing the name correctly. I've never actually said it aloud, but
you got this.
Amarlian.
That's good.
Is one of our viewers and friends in our Discord channel. He's the one that actually suggested this game, put it into the Retro Master list. He said, when I was listening to the end of your last podcast, you started to describe the next game. Then you said it was a game that was based on a movie. And I thought, oof, that is going to be rough since games based on movies usually are. And then you said Willow. I threw this on the list as one of my favorite games as a kid. I used to rent this all the time from Video Update until I eventually bought it from them when they were going out of business. I loved the look of the game and the RPG feel it provides. You are a lone warrior traveling from town to town, saving each one from their plight. I think they made a great choice to not follow the movie plot beat for beat, but to create its own story to play through. The gameplay was challenging at first, but once you get the rhythm down, it's not so bad. I hope you all found some good enjoyment out of this game, and I still have fond memories of it to this day. Since you said this game will set the tone for the year, I hope your podcast doesn't go from dropping the beat to dropping the ball with Willow.
Nice. That little Toe Jam and Earl reference. Look, thank you so much for suggesting this game. It's awesome, and I had no clue that it existed. And I want to play the arcade version just to check it out. And
yeah, I
might watch the movie.
Too. I may a little bit.
To be fair, to be honest, I'm a little bit shocked that you guys enjoy. Maybe not that Kenny, that you, Nolan, enjoyed this game so much.
Yeah, I'm a little shocked too. I don't know. It's just got so much charm. I liked it, and the music. I'm a music fan, a sucker for music, so.
I think they could have tweaked a few things, that the navigation and some of those things, and I would have as well. But I can see why this game, and if it's telling of the movie as well, I could see why both of them get passed over, because they're good, but then it's something that's just a copy of things that have been done and just not as well. I don't know how to describe it, but.
No, I think your critiques are fair. It's just all the positives outweighed the negatives for me, like heavily.
Well, either way, Willow did get our vote, and it got it. Thank you for sending in the game as a suggestion, Amarillion. And thank you both to you and to Josh for sending in your thoughts. You can always write into ngppodcast@gmail.com and let us know your thoughts on the retro game of the week. You could also suggest some of your favorite or most hated games from the past. It just needs to be 15 years old or older. It can be on any system or any genre. We'd love to include your game in the Retro Master List.
Is it that time?
It's the time to go to the Retro Master List and to randomly select the game that we are going to be playing for the next 7 days. And it is. A 1983 game that was first released in the arcades.
Interesting. We went way back.
Guys, it's time for another vehicular combat game.
No, it's not.
No.
That draws inspiration from the James Bond films.
What?
Okay.
It was originally supposed to carry the James Bond license, but I guess that dropped and it became its own game. We're going to be playing the game Spy Hunter.
Sounds like garbage. Kenny has no thoughts.
We'll see. Game based on movie was surprisingly good. And so maybe game based on movie that can't have that movie's title, even though it's a super early arcade title, might just have some really fun gameplay. I'm not optimistic.
Combat makes me pack my bags and run.
Yeah, I'm still scared.
Here's what I will say. If it was, and it was, if it's ported to the Atari, the ZX Spectrum, the Commodore 64, Apple II, PC, Nintendo Entertainment System, if it's ported to all those, you don't port an awful game so many times, do you?
You do, actually. I bet I could come up with some examples.
Ported 47 times does mean it will be a little easier to find and play and a bit more accessible, and so that'll be welcome at least.
Oh, I will say this, vehicular combat is typically not our favorite genre.
It's just boring to me. I don't like cars. I have to go buy one today too. This is the worst day ever.
Just play Spy Hunter instead. All right. Well, play along with us this week. You can find a copy of Spy Hunter. Again, it's for the arcade, but it came out on a variety of different consoles and systems. Find a copy, play along with us, and send us your thoughts by next Saturday. We'd love to include your commentary as a part of our episode next week.
If you love vehicular combat for some reason, you can talk to us about it and we'll ignore you in our Discord channel, which is a free program that we use to talk to some of the people that write in every week and connect with new faces also, even as this past week we met some new people that came in there. So please come join us in Discord. You can find an invite link to that on our Twitter and we will talk to you there.
While you're hanging out with us in Discord, you will get the chance to meet some of the best people in the world because they support our podcast. So big thanks to our patrons and especially to our producer level supporters, Bradley, Gimbarino, and Zion. You guys are excellent, and I would not have discovered Willow without you supporting this podcast. So thanks for all of you that listen and play and help us in all of the ways that you do. You guys are great.
We would also like to thank Dan, who upped his support at the start of this year. Must have gotten a raise at work and decided to spend some. So thank you, Dan, for doing that. For all of you that supported us financially or in other ways throughout 2017, we greatly appreciate it. As we move into 2018, we appreciate in advance any kind of support that you send our way through an email or through joining us on Discord or your patronage. We greatly appreciate your belief in and support in this podcast.
Yep.
Do find us on social media. That's Facebook and Twitter at NGP Podcast. You can find us and subscribe to us, please, on YouTube. We've got some Let's Plays that are going up of Dark Souls and Ocarina of Time. We've got some VODs from our episodes. First plays. I'm sure there will be a first play this week of Spy Hunter since none of us have actually played it before. You can also listen directly to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Music, or any other podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. We want to thank Tom Tate for editing and producing this particular episode. Join us next week as we play Spy Hunter. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this has been a high fantasy episode of New Game Plus.